Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds.
Welcome to another Freedom Bound Radio Without Barriers.
While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation.
This week we continue with the series of the sexually abused disabled people. First off, we speak with Sharon Robinson, and also we speak to Howard from the hospital. He has got some good news for us. His health is on the mend, and he'll be with us again soon, I should imagine. And now, here's Sharon Robinson.
Speaking to Sharon Robinson, Dieter and I this afternoon, this will be a continuation on our sexual abuse story from last week. Sharon is a counsellor, I believe. Is that right, Sharon?
Clinical psychologist.
Clinical psychologist. Yes. And has had first-hand experience with a rape case with an intellectually handicapped person. Is that correct, Sharon?
Yes, this is the most recent one. Took months of hard work for all of us. And early in 60s, 70s, I mean, I was an expert witness again for another person in Wollongong this time. Intellectually handicapped, though.
And how did this come about?
This was recent one. I had done the intellectual assessment on this lady, and that was a long time ago. Then after the rape, the parents were particularly anxious to take it to court, and they needed all the information they could get, and asked me then if I could remember what had happened in the assessment when I did it, and would I be prepared to go to the court and say what I knew. And that was all right. The problem was, as an expert witness, I thought that I might have been going first to lay the ground, as it were, but I was the third last witness on the third and last day. And unfortunately, I wasn't in the courtroom each time somebody was interviewed, and the poor lady herself was in tears most of the time because the barrister for the opposing side tried to belittle her, and she was in tears so much he didn't get to the truth of the matter at all. And he tricked her by simply saying something like, "That was a blue car he's driving, wasn't it?" And she'd already said it was a particular colour over months and stuck to the same story. But under duress, she just agreed with him. Aha, she's not an expert witness, not a reliable witness. And everybody was so anxious about that, angry. And by the time I got on the witness box, he tried to belittle me too. And I was furious, and I let him have it. And unfortunately, I thought I was going to be in contempt of court. But the whole thing that made me so angry was that then they were, the magistrate had to go on a circuit around the state, and then it was sub judice for probably 2 months, during which time nobody could talk about the case, and nobody could do anything. So when it was all come back to the court again, the wretched fellow got off. He had admitted to doing it in the first place, and his sister, being a barrister too, said, "Don't say anything," and he didn't. So he got off, and I was so angry. I wrote a letter to the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner, Marcus Einfeld. And apparently it upset them so much too that they will try to do something. Because what I said also to him was a farce. It wasn't a true indication of what I think is Australian justice. And they just badgered the witness, and I would have preferred to have seen somebody who knew something about the disability, speaking with the person, saying what the barrister wanted to know, and say it in a proper way, and in a calmer way. So that the law could get their truth, the lady wouldn't be badgered, and that's a word I use a lot to that barrister, being badgered, let her go. And she will tell the truth. And I feel most of that is the case for anybody with a handicap, or anybody anyway. It's when they start to badger, they distort the truth and the facts and stop it coming out properly. Now, those are the questions to suit their aims, not the justice of the whole thing, not the poor person in the middle. So I still am angry, as you might feel, but...
That makes me sick, Sharon.
It makes me sick too.
I mean, a poor person, an intellectually handicapped person in court with some of these tricky lawyers, I mean, that really is over the top, isn't it?
Well, it is. So I thought I had to do something. Now you're giving me another opportunity. I just hope somebody listens. They can do something, Yenta. It's just so... As I said, I don't think it's getting at the truth at all.
Yeah, I've just it's been going through my mind here that perhaps the person, you know, has been wrongly done by,
yeah.
And if she feels up to it, she should have very good grounds for appeal there, shouldn't she?
She should, but she's moderately handicapped, intellectually handicapped, so she's not... I don't think capable enough to appeal, and her parents were batting on her behalf. The father is a barrister himself, and he nearly went through a mental breakdown because of the stress that his daughter was going through.
Yes, would have been very traumatic for the family, I would
very
think.
Much.
Mm.
And luckily they're very... together and very helpful and kind.
And you can't really blame them if they want to hear the last of it and not get involved again, but it is such a pity that this sort of thing can't be appealed against, really.
It is. So I think the thing for all people concerned is me talking to other people. You know, Marcus Einfeld apparently was most upset by what had happened when I told him. And let's see what he can do. I don't know if his program can follow things up through his department.
Oh, yes, we certainly can.
Oh, good.
We here at Freedom Bound, although this is a pretty nasty, revolting sort of subject, the numbers are so high that we feel we have to talk about it. So, you know, that guy is free to go and do it again.
Exactly.
I mean, how many times does this have to happen?
I don't know. And do you know the worst thing of all? He was one of the helpers in the hostel she was staying at. So she trusted him to start with.
We were just, Dita and I were talking last night about this subject, and I said to Dita that everybody among my handicapped friends knows someone that this has happened to.
Really?
Which is disgusting. I mean... Yeah. It really is. I've only been aware that this is such a problem just recently, and I think we here at Freedom Bound are just shocked.
Well, with people like you, I think we can keep this rolling and really get some benefit for those sufferers, and perhaps, you know, that even the people that might be the perpetrators, we might get them some help somehow. I think they do need it.
I do too. I feel very sorry for him too. But I also feel more sorry for the victim.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Mm. I don't have any sympathy for him.
I don't have sympathy for the person that... the perpetrator, I mean, no, not at all, but I do recognise that those sort of people need help.
I do too.
And leave that to the professionals, but we, us here at Freedom Bound, will insist that this be carried on. We will delve further into this. And I've already been in touch with a couple of government departments, and there are things being sent out to us.
So
this will be an ongoing thing from now on.
Good.
And with your help and other people like you, this will continue.
I neglected to say that Sharon is a new member of Freedom Bound. We welcome you, Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I just hope I can help you.
You have already. You definitely have already.
Good. Good.
Well, thank you very much for that interview.
That's all right.
Now here's Pam speaking with Howard.
Well, folks, as with what we have done weekly, I'd like to give you a Howard update. We're crossing now direct to the hospital to talk to Howard, who is very much kicking at the moment. Good afternoon, Howard.
Hello, Pam. How are you, man?
Good, good, good. But the important thing is, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm still kicking, still alive.
Yeah, and when do you think you're going to come back?
Oh, I'd say 2 weeks.
The listeners are riveted here.
What?
They're riveted.
Are they?
Yes,
we've
been all hanging out, just wondering when you're coming back to the show.
Oh, really? Yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks.
So how was it?
How what?
How's hospital?
Oh, it's different.
They're looking after you?
Oh, they're doing that.
Yeah.
But I hate hospital.
You're terrible to interview, Howard.
I'm what?
You're terrible to interview.
Why?
I'm glad I don't have to interview all the time.
Why is that?
One word answers.
What do you mean one word answers?
How's hospital fine?
Yeah, no, you've got to be short and sweet, mate.
You're impossible.
Well, hospital's quite different.
Different.
And they're looking after me very well. And what do we do? Throw in an ad for Lidcombe Hospital? And,
That's for anyone who wants to send flowers, chocolates and flagons of rum.
Well, this is the point.
The latter being
That'd
the most
be
important.
It's Ward 2 West.
Oh, great. Okay then, Howard, you have the pleasure today of doing the outro to the show. How's that?
I don't know.
Good.
Now here's Pam speaking with Sue Hadley from NADO.
I'm talking to Sue Hadley from NADO. Good afternoon, Sue.
Hello.
Hello. Right, could you tell us a little bit about NADO, please?
Yes, well, NADO is a training program based at St. Leonard's, and it trains people in both clerical skills and also computer programming and computer operating. It's a 12-week in-house training program, and then clients go out on periods of work experience until they find employment.
And how successful have you been with this?
We've been extremely successful. We take 70 to 80 clients a year who have both physical disabilities and psychiatric disabilities, and we've had something like a 98% success rate, so we're extremely successful.
And what is the cost to the person for this?
There's no cost. What happens is they remain on whatever benefit they're already on, so that can be sickness benefit, unemployment benefit or invalid pension. And they will get a training allowance if they're over 25 years of age, which works out to be about $30 per week, and that's to cover travelling and meals.
And so it's things like typing and
clerical? That's right, the sorts of skills that we cover. And in the general clerical, they go keyboarding, they do mail duties, they'll be doing letter writing, there'll be accounts and calculations. And then what we do is we personalise the programme. So the whole philosophy of NADO is looking at people's ability rather than the disability. And as we find areas of strength, we then develop on in those areas. For example, somebody may be very good at keyboarding, so we can look then at taking them on into data entry or word processing. Somebody else may show a good aptitude for figure work, so we can look at taking them on into accounts or bookkeeping, payroll. So we then direct them into a career where they're using their strengths.
So when they first come in, you sort of check them out and see what they are best at?
Yes, what we do is when they come, any client that arrives usually has a vocational assessment that we have done, and that indicates areas of strength. But really it's a very practical sort of environment, and it's letting them have practical hands-on experience. And from that, we can then work out whether they're, which way we're going to take them into employment.
Is there any educational qualifications needed?
No, though we don't take people who've got intellectual disabilities. So what we tend to look at is much below the 80s, an IQ of 80. We would then perhaps suggest that there may be more suitable programs for them, and we'd transfer them on. But as long as somebody's got an average IQ level, there's absolutely no qualifications needed.
So you're a little bit worried about the government cuts at the moment in funding.
That's right. What's happened to NADO is that we now come under an umbrella of called Skillshare, which is federal funding for a number of training organisations. And the problem with that is that the for Skillshare, you need to be what they call a generic service, which means that you offer your services to all types of people, not just a specialist service like NADO is. And they're in effect trying to water down the service and say that we either have to open our doors to a much wider cross-section of people.
You've got to be kidding.
Yeah. And they're also saying that other Skillshare programs will be open, will have open doors for people with disabilities. But that doesn't work in reality. A lot of programs that we know haven't got the expertise, haven't even got the wheelchair access or a wheelchair toilet to be able to take people in.
Of course.
And, you know, they just haven't got the sort of expertise that we've built up over 26 years. So we're very unhappy with the scenario at the moment.
But you said how many students do you take?
Well, this year we're trying to take, we've, under Skillshare funding, we've been asked to increase our numbers from 70, which is our usual intake, to 140. So at the moment, we're trying to double our numbers. So we expect to get about 110 clients through the program this year.
But you would do that easily. I mean, there's lots of handicapped people who need this service.
That's for sure. And that's what we're finding this year, is that, you know, we've got more than enough clients to come through the program.
Of course.
But the problem is that, as you know, a lot of clients need special advocacy.
Of course.
And NADO's built up such a team of specialists who are able to advocate on their behalf. And we've had such wonderful case scenarios of success year after year after year. And it seems to us that it just seems so pointless that the fact that we're so successful just doesn't seem to mean anything.
That is really ridiculous.
So we're really up in arms at the moment. What we're trying to do, what happened this year was that we were funded as a transitional program, which meant that we had a year to try and conform to Skillshare. And at the end of this year, if we haven't conformed to Skillshare, the outline of Skillshare, then it means that our funding is very being severely looked at. Now, we haven't been told that we will be closed down, but we know that we're in jeopardy. And that's why we're trying to lobby now at this point, rather than wait until December when the decisions are made in Canberra. We're trying to lobby some support for the program.
And how can we help?
Well, what we'd like from people at the moment, what we're doing is sending out to all ex-trainees letters that they can then forward to their local MPs and also on to the minister. And if anyone's interested, we'd be very happy for them just to phone in to the NADO program, and we would send that out to them so that they could forward that on to their MPs. The telephone number is 436-0303.
436-0303. So for the people listening out there, we'd like you to try and help NADO. They're a wonderful organisation. And we really would like to keep it among disabled people.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, there is a definite need for this.
Well, this is why we're so angry, is that we see that it's such a backward step for our clients, because they've needed the service, and we've been able to mainstream them by getting them into open employment. I mean, there couldn't be anything that's more of a normalisation than that. And we see that what will happen is that they will just be left at the very back end of the queue. And they're saying, yes, they can walk through the doors, but what they're really saying, we know that these people need extra help to walk through the doors. And in effect, there'll be a lot of clients that just won't get the service that they've been getting.
Do you, assist with finding employment?
Yes, we have a very, very strong link. That's why our employment rate is so high. My title is a coordinator, but I'm also the job development officer, which means I stay with my clients until we find employment, and that's why we've been so successful, is that we put them through the work experience and then we stay with them until we find open employment for them. So I'm a very strong advocate on their behalf.
If a disabled person wanted to be a computer operator, how hard would that be for them?
Well, what we do with computer operating or computer programming is that they would arrive at the program, and we would then give them an IBM aptitude test, and that's something that's required by industry, which then shows whether or not they've got the aptitude to be able to go through the course. As long as they pass that, then we'd put them through the course, and then we'd place them out on work experience.
Sounds absolutely marvellous.
It is. Yeah. And we have wonderful, I've got a client that got placed out 9 months ago as a computer programmer, and he was placed out on about $32,000 a year, and he's now on something like $60,000 a year. I've got another client that I placed out at Australian Film TV School, who has just been, he's on a salary of $30,000, and he's got a budget of something like $40,000. So, you know, it's just wonderful, some of the successes of people who've been, the client at Australia Film and TV School was 8 years unemployed.
That's good.
Severe back injury. And, you know, I mean, it's just transformed his whole life.
Deidre wants to know if there's another standard other than the IBM.
No, though sometimes what we'll do, like people who come through the clerical course may be showing real aptitude, and so from that we can sort of ascertain, but we always give them the aptitude test. The reason is that industry expects that, so if we're sending them on to the, we have a lot of associate companies that support us for training, places like Coltex or AMP, a lot of the big organisations, they will expect that as an industry sort of, you know, norm.
When do you take your students?
We have a monthly intake. Every month we take an intake in, and they will stay then for 3 months. So it's every month there's a new group arriving and there's a group going out on work experience.
And where are you located?
We're located at St. Leonard's. We're very handy for local transport, both the train, which has got ramps, so there's good access, and public transport.
So lastly, have you anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, really, I would just really implore people who are interested to do some lobbying on our behalf, because it's really in the interest of themselves and their peer group. You know, that we just feel very concerned that we see that there are pockets within the welfare area that are just being really looked over and forgotten. And if people don't make a stand now, then, you know, something like NADA may well go down.
I certainly hope not. Sue, thank you very much.
That's a pleasure.
2SER. 2SER. Sydney Educational Radio.
Now we have John Eggleston, our new member, speaking to Alan.
Alan, good afternoon, Alan.
Hello.
Would you like to tell us a bit about what the group RISE does and what it stands for and so on?
Yes, well, RISE was formed in 1982 at Mount Wilga, the Commonwealth Rehabilitation Centre. As Mount Wilga was a very boring place of a night time, a few of us got together and decided to go out for something to do. Our first night out, I think, was about six people. The second time we went out, we had about 12 people. The third time we went out, we had about 28 people. And at that time, I was the only one with a car, so I was more or less left transporting just people to and from Mount Wilga. As we all sort of finished at Mount Wilga, a few of us got together and decided on the idea of organising a disabled group in the outer western suburbs. And that's how Group RAID 4 all started. And RAID stands for Recreation Organised Aid for Disabled. We get together every couple of weeks. We go out to clubs, we go to restaurants, we do all sorts of activities. My house at 27 Corinda Drive, South Penrith, is club premises. My phone number, if anyone would like to ring, is 047-213181. Our club vice president is Bill Dudman. His phone number is 02-625-5806. We have varying activities.
Okay, excuse me, Alan.
Yes?
I'd just like to repeat those numbers for people that wish to contact you.
Yes?
And your number is
047-213181.
Right. And Bill's number is
02-625-5806.
Right.
And the people in road disabilities vary from cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, accident victims, spinal bifida. We have many different sorts of varying disabilities. We have blindness. We have had amputees. We've got other people in wheelchairs from other disorders or problems.
Excuse me, can you like to tell the listeners out there how often the group meets and so on?
Well, RAID meets approximately every 2 weeks. As tomorrow we have a barbecue at my house at 27 Corinda Drive. On the 10th of June we're having a picnic and barbecue at Warragamba Dam. On the 25th of the 6th, we're having a barbecue at 132 Bungaraby Road, Blacktown. On the 8th of the 7th, we're going to the Chinese restaurant in at South Penrith at Southlands. On the 23rd of the 7th, we're having a barbecue at 27 Corinda Drive, South Penrith. On the 5th of the 8th, we have a bus trip down to Stanmore Park. Anyone who'd like to come are welcome.
What about some of the past events that you've done before as well, too, just for listeners?
We've been to live shows. We've seen Cold Joy. We've seen Jerry and the Pacemakers. We've seen Little Patty. We've been to... We try to organise activities, if we can, with other disabled crews.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. I'm pretty sure the listeners have got a fair idea what happened to the group.
Yes.
And thank you very much for the interview, mate.
That is all right. No worries. If anybody'd like to contact me, my phone number again is 047-213181.
This brings us to nearly the end of another Freedom Bound program. Next week, we continue the sexually abused story and also an interview with Shirley White from The House With No Steps. Now, here is Pam and Howard bringing us to the close of this show.
Howard?
Yeah?
How would you like to say you're the voice of disability?
No.
Howard?
Yeah?
How would you like to say you're the voice of disability?
All right then.
Right, come on.
Now?
Yes?
Just remember that you're the voice of disability.
Perfect. Thank you, Howard.
Fantastic.